Hello, everybody. I'm Phil Margavichis, and welcome to another episode of the Project MedTech Podcast. If you need anything from us or would like to suggest a future guest, you can email us at info@projectmedtech.com. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. For more information on Project MedTech and to sign up for our monthly newsletter, visit our website at www.projectmedtech.com and follow us on LinkedIn. If you're enjoying this content, don't forget to check out our other podcasts by searching Funding MedTech on your favorite podcast platform or by heading to our website. Funding MedTech is an interview-style podcast focused on exploring ways to fund MedTech innovation and will be released weekly on Wednesdays. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Inalytics. Do you want to submit your software MVP to the FDA in 4 months? Perhaps you're looking for an FDA-savvy software development partner to write your software or build your AI ML algorithm from the ground up. Today's sponsor, Inalytics, can take your software idea, build it, clear it, deploy it, and maintain it. They can be your Sherpa to help you climb the FDA submission hurdle in as little as 4 months, and that includes a clinical performance study. What are you waiting for? Get on the market before your competition and go check out Inalytics.com. That's INNOLITICS.com, or reach out to the founders Eugene Shrestha or David Giese on LinkedIn. In this episode, Katrina Holland at MedTech Color and Dwayne Mancini discuss her new role at MedTech Color, closing the diversity gap in MedTech, her short, medium, and long-term vision for MedTech Color, and so much more.
Okay, Katrina, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So let's start with an introduction into who you are, your background, and then we'll kind of lead into what you're doing right now with MedTech Color.
Sounds great. Well, a little bit about me. My name is Katrina Holland. I am what they call an association professional. I've been working with nonprofits for about 25 years. And my career has spanned starting working in an association of trial lawyers to working with a major medical specialty association, both based in Chicago. And then eventually moving to the East Coast and working with an organization of anesthesiologists and researchers and still focused on healthcare. But in all the organizations, I try to align myself with organizations who are on the cusp of growth and change. So when I work with the physicians, it was during healthcare reform. I started working with tax experts during tax reform. And now that there's all sorts of things happening in healthcare, when the opportunity with MedTech Color came up, I thought it was something that would be great in terms of what I've done in the past and what I want to continue to do.
Awesome. So, but before we dive into MedTech Color, so I guess, you based on the background you just gave, I guess, like what, when you were deciding what you wanted to be when you get older, right? Like what got you into this necessarily, like this field? Cause you kind of been all over the place, right? But there's an underlying theme to all of them. So I'm just curious, like how you decided on this as your path.
Yeah. So, frankly, my path started out kind of straightforward with me just simply wanting to be a lawyer. And that was a seed that was planted by my father, who is a retired Army colonel. And you'll see some of the stuff in the background with all his Army related things. When I started down that path and made the decision not to, but one of the things that I guess has always been inside of me is this need to make an impact and this need to support growth and change wherever it was needed. And I felt like the legal side obviously has its restrictions. There are rules, there are regulations, there's precedent, and then there's not. When I sort of fell into the association world, I got to work with people who were working with different professions, but who also were passionate about their specific profession and wanted to impact change within it to help support the profession or to help obviously advance the mission. So that's something that's been kind of inside me from day one. I get kind of bored just working as part of an existing process, you know, something that's well established and where, you know, you kind of punch in and punch out. That's never been me. So as I started to look at different opportunities in my career, I wanted to make sure that whatever decision I was making and whatever group I aligned myself with, I wanted to be able to look back and said, I helped them do that. And I used some of the God-given talents and education that I'd received along the way to help move something forward. So that's kind of how I'm wired.
Yeah, that's awesome. So MedTech Color, you just recently took over as executive director. Is that right?
That's right. Okay. That's right.
So can you tell me a little bit about the background of MedTech Color? I know that Kwame Ulmer was maybe helped founded it. He's a co-founder. I know he's a board member there. He's been on our other podcast series. I've known Kwame for a few years now. But I guess, can you tell me about the origins of it and then maybe why it was founded? And then we can kind of get into, you know, all of what you do and what the future looks like.
Sure. So MedTech Color was founded about 7 years ago, and it was kind of born out of a need when several African-American MedTech professionals were, you know, having dinner at, you know, I'm sure an association meeting. And they said, you know what? We've got to come together and figure out a way to help really diversify MedTech. There's just a lack of people of color in the profession. And so, you know, the way most associations start is people are sitting around the table with a bunch of ideas. You know, you get a bunch of smart people in the room and they come up with solutions. And Kwame, who is an engineer by background, was already associated with an organization called AVIMED, which is an association that supports the largest medical device companies out there. And, you know, they kind of approached him and said, you know, can you help us, you know, get some more diversity in here? And, you know, he said yes. And he leaned into his network. And we have a few founders. Kwame is one of them. Vanessa Pollard, who is also one of our founders and who is a lawyer by trade. We also have Netta Hanafi, who is a med tech strategist and design thinker and also an engineer, engineering background. So we got the right people in the room to just come up with a model for how we might just diversify med tech. It kind of started out as let's simply start to just diversify the AVIMED conference. Let's try and attract more med tech professionals of color to this conference. And in doing that, we started hosting a networking breakfast annually with that conference. And it grew from 70 to now over 400 people attending the conference in a span of about 5 years or so, which, you know, surprised everybody in a good way and said, well, I guess if you build it, they will come. And so out of that, we started to think about different ways to help diversify med tech by creating just a talent pool and a hub so that when people needed diverse talent, they'd have one place to go look for it. You know, fast forward a few years, the organization becomes a little bit more established, has a pitch competition where, you know, they're helping to fund diverse founders and becomes a little bit more well-rounded as kind of a business and begins to be ready for its first full-time executive director, because Kwame was a part-time executive director, one of his many hats that he's wearing. And, you know, I think it was time for him to seek somebody who could do it full-time and really get behind the organization and help it grow. And so enter Katrina.
You're right. Yeah, Kwame is a guy who, yeah, he, it's like, every time I talk to him, he's like, oh yeah, I'm involved in that. Or, oh yeah, I'm doing this. Or, oh, I'm growing this. It's like, yeah, I mean, he's got to be stretched pretty thin. So real quick for plugs here, Kwame's episode where he talks about WaveMaker 360, which where he's a venture partner, is episode 10 of Funding MedTech. So I wanted to plug him real quick. This isn't the first time we've talked about diversity in med tech on the podcast. Episode 13 was with Dr. Brandy Baldwin, who's the founder and CEO of Millennial Ventures Holdings. But she more specifically talked about the lack of venture capital dollars going to women-owned minority businesses in the med tech space. So if people want to check out that episode, episode 13 of Project MedTech. So Katrina, tell me a little bit about it. How many months ago was it that you started in the new role?
Yeah, so it's been, I guess it's been about 3 months, January 2nd.
Wow. Okay.
2024. It's been about 3 months. So I'm deep in the weeds now though.
Yeah. Yeah. So what has those first like 3 months been like? Has it been just a lot of figuring out what was being done and how it was being done? And were there any like little wins you had where it said, hey, you know what, this is something we could tackle right away? I guess, tell me about the first 3 months.
Yeah. So the first 3 months, a lot of it is just really lots of introductions, you know, learning about a lot of the partners, the existing partners of the organization, why they partner with the organization. And then, you know, the second part of that is getting a little bit deeper in the weeds on the operational side to see what systems we need to build. We're a young company, to get the organization strong. And to automate some processes because we have a small staff. You know, a lot of it's just kind of bread and butter. Do we have a, you know, customer resource management system? Do we need one? How big should it be? You know, do we have the right email client? You know, what is our marketing like? Is our messaging clear? You know, all the things that you need to do when you're really trying to notch it up and go to the next level. And then it's kind of the, you know, once you kind of understand the weeds and the operational side, it's okay, what about our vision for moving forward? What's the short-term plan? What's the midterm plan? And then what's the long-term plan? And how can we get some quick wins? And so I think from my perspective, I really kind of had my eyes set on this, on really building the community and establishing MedTech Color as the hub, because I think that the seeds had already been planted on the relationship side with AvaMed and with a lot of our partners who are supporting us on the funding side. But how do we make sure that the organization is a go-to resource when our reception is over, when pitch is over, you know, all the events are done, are they seeking us out 365 days of the year? And so one of the first things we want to do is really think about developing that value proposition for membership and for funding. You know, why would someone want to join MedTech Color? What is it about this community that would be supportive or valuable that you would get here that you might not get somewhere else? And, you know, is there this sense of I'm missing out on something if I'm either not a member or not attending this networking reception? So that's kind of the ethos of what we're going for here in the short term.
Yeah, I think that's that you bring up an important point that I'll summarize it in a different way. But it's something that like we focus on quite a bit at Project MedTech, but we also focus on like when we talk to other industry partners, which is like focus on creating value. Because if you create value, then there's nothing, you won't have to worry about anything. As long as you're always thinking about how am I creating value to the ecosystem, you'll that's be right. golden, right? And so I love that you kind of brought that up because I think that's an important piece of it. So I'm curious from your perspective, again, like you said at the beginning, maybe you don't have as much med tech experience, but in your first 3 months, I mean, if you go to any conference, and my world is specific to startups, but med tech in general, it can be a pretty glaringly obvious problem when it comes to diversity in the medtech ecosystem. So I'm curious, what has been your initial observations? But then let's dive into, you know, that medium and long-term vision of what you have for this organization and how you can help, you know, change that.
Yeah. And, you know, I think this is a real important conversation because, you know, when you ask the question and it's well known, you know, why is there a lack of diversity in medtech? And then you go to these events and you experience and see the lack of diversity. It kind of becomes obvious. Like you hear it and you're like, yes, there's a lack of diversity. And then you see it, you're like, yo, that means that there are no people of color here, you know, and then that strikes you very differently. I think that what it means is it makes it even more important for an organization like MedTech Color to exist. And the reason why is because when we encourage people to attend these meetings and to go after funding, there has to be a safe place for them to come together as a community to talk about why it's okay for them to go to this conference when very few people look like them. Because on its face, it can be intimidating, right? And just to have that support system to help people get over these limiting beliefs in some cases, that becomes a, you know, a psychological block that we can help kind of support. And so in doing that, I think that MedTech Color, as we build our community and we start to support people attending these events, because some of these events are hosted by our partners, we can start to give people access to these events and they can see that, you know, there is a place for them there and that there are opportunities for them there. And if we can just simply be that platform and that support system, I think it helps us get to this long-term goal of making sure that there's more folks attending the events, there's more people of color on the panels so that the events seem more aligned with, you know, some of the goals of the people who want to go. And so I think that's how we can really help to make that impact.
Yeah. Are there some strategic initiatives in terms of like, you know, that you'll be measured on almost? I'm guessing you guys are kind of in the process of putting around like, hey, what does good look like? What's great look like? Are those some of those discussions kind of going on right now within your organization?
Yeah, we definitely have funding goals and we have, you know, certain amounts that we want to make sure that we are giving out annually at our pitch competition to make sure that we are targeting the right folks and making sure that they're getting the support that they need. So the funding to the founders is one strategic goal. Another of the goals that we have is just simply growing membership. And we will have an initiative that we're launching this year, a membership initiative that's going to align with registration for our networking breakfast. So when you sign up to attend the networking breakfast, you can sign up for membership at the same time. So hopefully that will help to grow our membership. And obviously there's some metrics associated with what a good job looks like on the membership side. The other thing are just some internal goals that we have to get our system set up. We're looking to get a job board stood up in 2024. And we are looking to obviously get some internal membership database system stood up in 2024. So this is a transition year for us. It's a year of making sure that we lay the foundation so that in 2025, we're leveling up, right? So we're simply directing people to our job board to either access resources or directing potential people who want to post in the job board to join. And those are some tangible things that we want to focus on this year to make sure that we're in a good place next year for outreach.
Very cool. And I'm guessing, I know you're coming to Project MedTech's, you know, Midwest Showcase in May in Chicago. But in terms of kind of getting the word out and about MedTech Color, are you kind of like on a little bit of a circuit this year in terms of heading to events and whatnot?
I am. And I'm really looking forward to coming to Chicago. It's actually my old stomping grounds.
That's right. You mentioned
Chicago.
That's right. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to returning to the Windy City. And I also I'm looking forward to hopefully doing some collaborations with MedTech Women this year. Been in close contact with their executive director, who's very supportive of MedTech Color. And Maryland, turns out the state of Maryland has a great MedTech Summit and has reached out. And so I'll be speaking on a panel here in a couple of weeks on April 11th in College Park, just to get some local fan base here for MedTech Color and to do what I can to spread the word locally since I'm here.
Yeah, that's exciting.
So those are just a few of the things.
Yeah. You know, speaking of Maryland, you know, the Virginia, Maryland, even like the RTP area kind of get lumped in. And I know you're in North Carolina right now, but I think that like it's really interesting that dynamic over there, because you do have obviously John Hopkins and all the stuff they do in med tech, but then you have Charlottesville, Virginia, that's kind of nearby. That's a neat ecosystem for med tech. And then you also have RTP, which obviously has a lot of pharma, but also a heavy med tech contingency as well. So I'm sure that event in Maryland will be good in terms of that, to kind of rally the troops a little bit. Very cool. So curious as well is, if you are an early stage startup listening in right now, or someone who, is an engineer at a Medtronic, but has an idea, or just someone who's thinking about entrepreneurship, I guess, what would your message be to them? Because entrepreneurship is lonely and scary as it is. And then I just feel like there's a whole nother layer that is probably scary as well, to your point, when, you know, you're going to these conferences and there's not a lot of people who look like them. Right. And that's I can't even imagine the compounding there. Right. And so I'm just curious, like, what would your message be to someone who is about to depart, you know, kind of get ready for this journey of entrepreneurship? How do they join, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I would say, first off, go to our website, and click join, and, join MedTech Color. Aside from the pitch competition, which is, you know, obviously a competition where people have already made the decision, you know, to be an entrepreneur and maybe are in, you know, the Series A stage. We also have seed folks, but part of what we offer, which I think is very unique to other pitch competitions and to other organizations, is this real network of support, where, you know, no question is a stupid question. You know, we have organizations who support the organization both with financial support, but also with in-kind resources. And sometimes those in-kind resources are office hours. And sometimes those in-kind resources are, you know, founder to founder, one-to-one, where you can simply ask questions of someone who has been through everything that you're going through and can help you, you know, clear the path to be successful. You know, that's the community that we want to build. And we know that sometimes it takes extra support. We know that it is not easy for anyone, whether there's a person of color or not. And we want to make sure that we are putting our money where our mouth is and accessing those resources. Another of the projects that we're working on, which hopefully will be released within the next 6 to 8 months, is a project called Pitch 365, which is simply a program where we're harnessing all the in-kind resources that we can muster and making sure that we have resources for not only the founders that were successful in our prior cohorts from Pitch, but in other founders who were thinking about being entrepreneurs. So we're having resources at different levels, which they would be able to access on our website. As a member, you would get those at no cost. It'd be a benefit of membership. And if you're not sure you wanted to join, then you could access that at a nominal fee. So those are things that we're thinking about. We're trying to keep those needs in mind as we help to build our community.
Yeah. From a mentorship network perspective, because there's also a lot of people within that listen to the podcast that probably could be mentors. Is there a way to sign up to be a mentor or give away in-kind services? Is that just through the website as well?
It is. It's also through the website. So there is a section where you would click either to donate or to, and that email would go directly to our staff, and you could just note that you want to provide some sort of in-kind support to the organization or to one of our programs, and we would have a conversation and take it from there.
Very cool. That's super helpful. So for everyone listening in, there will be a link to MedTech Colors website in the show notes to make it a little bit easier. But also, if you're listening right now and you want to go search for it, it's just medtechcolor.org would be the simplest way to get there. Okay. I'm also curious as well. So from the entrepreneur side of things, I get all the services. The one stat on your website that I see is that, let's see here, African American and Hispanic entrepreneurs receive less than 4% of venture capital funding. So there's changing it by getting more entrepreneurs, right? And more people, more diverse people into the med tech space. There's also, I forget what episode it was, but we talked about, it wasn't Dr. Brandy Baldwin's episode. It was someone else's. We talked that women's health received like less than 1% of VC funding. And, you know, the one entrepreneur I was talking to kind of made a point to say, well, it's because there's not enough women in VC, right? And so, if you're constantly pitching women's health to men, they don't understand because they can't relate to it. Is kind of what she was kind of pushing with what she was saying. So I'm curious too, is how do you get more diversity in the venture side of things? I know mm-hmm. you have the job board and stuff, but is that also a piece you're kind of looking at?
I think that's an excellent point, because it has, I think, become a piece in what we're looking at, because part of what we do is we want to create a hub for, you know, investment opportunities. And so we want to find people who are investing in our demographic. And in doing that, you know, you start to build a list and you wonder how long the list is going to be or how short the list is going to be, right? So I think this is really where it's not a silver bullet, and you can't just assume that we're going to grow the diversity among med tech and think that's going to solve the problem. I think it's also the people who are giving out the funding. And so that's part of the reason why we are really in close collaboration with med tech women on helping that demographic also grow, because I think it's, has a lot of alignment and some of the same goals that we have. A rising tide lifts all ships.
That's right.
And so you need allies in that way.
Yeah. One more question, and then we can wrap it up here. What about, so we've kind of talked about like from the business side, the development, fundraising, just overall more diversity in the space. I think the other space that has, I've had recently a lot of conversations with, is the lack of diversity or inclusion in clinical trials mm-hmm. as well. This is a space that, especially for my background, where I've come from the contract research organization world, but also the clinical research organization world, that has always been an issue. And I think it got more attention, maybe with the whole, I think it was like sensors specifically used maybe in like a wearable watch, right? Where it wasn't, mm-hmm. I think it might've been, blood oxygen levels and the accuracy when compared to to certain races. So I'm curious, is that something also you're kind of focusing on? Because it's not like, it's maybe not a focus from a creating jobs perspective, but it is a focus from like, if we want more medical technology, we want it to be more inclusive of the people can actually help, right? Like the development of it. So I'm curious if that's in your purview as well.
Absolutely. So one of the other, I guess, verticals we have is what we call a collaborative community. And that collaborative community has about four different work streams, one of which is diverse recruitment and retention in clinical trials. And there are three others, and they're all listed on the website. But this one specifically, I think, it hits close to home for me, because the reason I'm in North Carolina is because my dad had a pulmonary embolism, and I'm helping to manage his care. And I didn't know anything about a pulse oximeter device until he had to wear one, right? And so it wasn't reading accurately. And, you know, the doctor's kind of trying to work around it. And I didn't understand why. I'm like, well, if it's not reading accurately, like, just make sure it reads accurately so you know what to do. But it doesn't work on people who have darker skin. And he's a dark skinned guy. And so, you know, I think that one of the things that we are definitely pushing to do is to help increase the diversity in clinical trials so that these devices are tested on everybody, so that when everybody needs them, they're accurate and they work. So when you think about an association and an organization and what they do two things. They make sure that they provide value to people, but then they also make sure that they're advancing thought leadership for the greater good. Right. And I think the collaborative community, which is backed by the FDA, is focusing on that greater good and really helping to answer some of the questions that we need to answer with some of the devices that developed. And I don't know if it's serendipitous or what, but we actually awarded one of our pitch competition winners created a pulse oximeter device that reads accurately on people of color, and that we just awarded that 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
And so it's one of these things that kind of comes full circle, and we all were kind of, you know, stunned at how much of an impact you can make in an organization that's seemingly so small, but can really make an impact if you're just focused on the right things and have the right people in place to make it happen. So absolutely, you know, people join, not just for personal reasons to help advance their career or, you know, to get supported as an entrepreneur, but help to be a part of something bigger and better and just to provide solutions. You know, this is why we're all here. This is why I joined the organization. This is why I want to be here. This is why it doesn't feel like work. It feels like we're really doing something worthwhile.
Yeah, I think that's a excellent way to end it. I wish your dad a speedy recovery. And those kind of stories are like those like full circle stories. I've had a few of these recently on the podcast. And honestly, I think we could probably have a full circle story with people being affected by the devices that are being created in this industry on every podcast. It's just, can I pull it out of that individual, right? Or not.
That's right.
So, Katrina, I really appreciate your time. Hang on for 1 minute. We'll chat offline, but we'll have a link to Katrina's LinkedIn and also MedTech Color's website. And Katrina, thanks so much for doing this.
Pleasure's mine.
Thanks for listening. If you need anything from us, you can contact us at info@projectmedtech.com. And for more information on Project MedTech, visit our website at www.projectmedtech.com. Thanks for listening and have a great day.